Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Monday, November 10th, 2014, and with me today, I have back from the missing Kelly Gaumont.
Hi, Jeff.
It's great to hear your voice again. It's been far too long.
It has indeed.
Yeah. And also a man whose voice I have missed, even though I've heard it recently, John Martellaro. How are you, John?
Guten Morgen, Herr und Fräulein. Das ist Deutsch. Yeah, that's good morning.
We are so international and cosmopolitan today.
That's right.
There you are.
Jawohl.
Yeah. I have a very short cosmopolitan story, which is many years ago in Louisiana, when my parents lived down there, I wanted to go to a town outside of Slidell and experience more of just the community. And so my dad told me to go visit this one little town that I can't remember the name of off the top of my head, but he made it sound like it was this, like it was a big city. And he says, it's very cosmopolitan. Right before I hit the town border, there was a sign that said, watch for bears crossing the road. Do not let convicts in your vehicle.
Uh-oh. Nice.
And that was the high point of this town. Anyhow, so we have a new sponsor this week, Casper, and they make amazing mattresses, and I'll talk about them a little more in a bit. But the first thing that I wanted to do was jump into why, Kelly, you were not with us at all next week, because it's actually a really cool thing.
Last week. And have you been – you've been – drinking and time traveling again, haven't you?
Well, time is not linear, wibbly wobbly, timey-wimey. And by the way, something seems to be messed up with my TARDIS because I'm pretty sure tomorrow I had a problem with something from next week, but I fixed it last week.
I hate when that happens.
You remember what they say, Jeff? Don't drink and time travel at the same time.
Yeah, I know exactly what could happen. I mean, the last time I did that, we lost the dinosaurs. Sorry, my bad.
That was you?
That was you?
I had my suspicions.
Yeah, I know.
So I was out last week because I was in Los Angeles attending an event called MacTech, which is an amazing event. And part of what makes it amazing is that Neil Tichton and Ed Marzak, who are the coordinators, the two guys behind MacTech magazine, put together this annual conference every year, and it has two tracks. It has an IT track, and it has a development track, developer track for Mac OS, iOS development. And so anybody who is there for IT can talk about, you know, how you manage, you know, a network on that kind of scale, deployment, all kinds of things that are really common in the trenches and elegant ways to solve those problems. There's a whole lot of conversation by some ridiculously smart people about how to do this kind of stuff across 500 machines, across 1,000 machines, across more than 1,000 machines, and the stuff that they've worked out in order to make these kinds of things easier for folks who are in IT who always have way too much to do. And then the development side talks about all kinds of different things from, you know, now that you've built the app, how do you build a business around it? And here are some specific tips and tricks that you can use. And this year, one of the pre-conference sessions, if you want to, you can show up a day before the conference actually starts. And you can, this year, you could get Microsoft Office for Mac certified. You can get a full day learning about Objective-C, I think it was, iOS program, iOS development program, basically. And then a variety of, I think there were a couple of other sessions that but I can't remember what they were at the time because I didn't get to attend any of those. Dave went to the development one, Dave Hamilton, so he can tell you more about that. It was amazing. It's an opportunity to get to hang out with some crazy smart people. We got to test drive Teslas, which you guys may have heard me talk about from last year. Yeah.
That's pretty awesome.
What's really awesome is when you're in the car and the person from Tesla who's in the car with you says, so when you go up here and take a right, it's a nice straight stretch. You can really floor it.
And then you do.
Yeah.
0 to 60 in 3.8 or 9, something like that, and a Tesla S.
Yeah. It didn't take very long at all to hit 60. I'm just going to leave it there. We also got to talk to people from the NASA JPL who talked to us about the rovers on Mars and one of the missions that's coming up where they're going to do some more exploration on Mars, and that stuff is all really awesome. We got to hang out with a TARDIS, a model of R2-D2 that rolls around and opens in the front where you can charge your phone. There's actually an honest-to-God USB port in the front. It was really awesome. Holds a lightsaber in his head just like he should. There was a model of Iron Man. We get to sit in a captain's chair. I got an opportunity to wave a bat'leth around. And let's see, what else did we do? We also got a tour of Disney Animation at the Roy Disney Animation Building. We got to go there and take tours of the facility. We got to find out about the Avid editing bays. And the keynote this year at the event was by the CTO of Disney Animation. And he talked about some of the technology that went into their new film that just opened this weekend, Big Hero 6, which we also got to see a little bit early. And some of the stuff that they're doing around animation is really cool. And if you're an animation nerd, I will probably have more to say about this later in the week on the site. So keep an eye out for those posts.
Awesome.
Nice.
And okay, so this is a conference that really caters to like serious, deep into the tech world, Apple developers and consultants, mm-hmm. and just that whole world, right?
Yeah, a lot of small business and Apple consultant folks. And the nice thing about it for a lot of people is that when they're there, they actually get an opportunity to talk to other people in the same vein. It's a lot like Mac IT in that respect, without the whole other giant show attached to it. So a lot of times it's like a photo negative of what Macworld used to be. But it's also, particularly this year, it was really nice because everybody was like, well, since I'm not going to see you next year in San Francisco. And so it was very nice to get the opportunity to catch up with a lot of folks that, you know, normally it would be like, well, I'll see you in February or March. And it's, you know, so it's not a big deal. But knowing that went away, that was kind of a bummer. So it was still really nice to get the opportunity to hang out in the same place with like 350 other Mac nerds and really get the chance to listen to some very smart people talk about some really big brain stuff. It was great.
You know, you just hit on something that that is a big thing for me right now. And you said 350 people.
Mm-hmm.
And that reminded me that I've been looking at what's been happening with conferences. And I think shows or events like Mac Tech, mm-hmm. are the way of the future.
Absolutely.
The big conferences where you have thousands of people, I think that's really a dying breed. And what people really want are, I'll call them boutique events, because mm-hmm. just because they have fewer people there. But yeah, an event like Mac Tech, where you have 350 people, mm-hmm. and Nerdtacular is just a few hundred people, and all these different events, they're smaller. And I think people are really appreciating getting a more intimate event that is really focused on just what they need.
Yeah. And Mac Tech also does, aside from the one big annual conference, they do in cities all around the country, they do Mac Tech Boot Camp. And
I've been to one of those in Denver. It was fantastic.
I spoke at one. It was amazing. I've been to two in Seattle, and they were both great. And it's another. And the great thing about them is that it's an opportunity to meet up with somebody that maybe you didn't know, but they live, you know, kind of near where you are, you know, physically, because it's like, this was Mac Tech Boot Camp Seattle, like I said. So, you know, I was one of the people that came from the furthest away. So, you know, by being in Portland, which is only 3 hours away in a car. And so there were people from Portland, people from Vancouver, BC, and everybody got a chance to kind of mix it up. But like, if I had been in, you know, I also met a few other people who were there from Portland. So I can continue to have a conversation with them, or, you know, generate ideas with folks that I met at Mac Tech at the boot camp that are already in my city. And so that kind of stuff to me is really great. And And there's other conferences that are doing this. CocoConf is one that goes and has events all over the country. And I think you're right. I think the smaller, more hands-on thing is going to be the way of the future. I mean, we've already seen CES kind of implode and then rebuild. And E3 is gone. And I think probably the last great big one was really Macworld. And
now that's on indefinite hiatus.
Right. And so, and you know, we don't know if it's ever coming back. And so I think, you know, if there were, that was one of the things that people sort of talked about really enjoying before when it was split, when you could go to one on the East Coast and one on the West Coast, was they weren't necessarily as big. And I think that there's definitely something to be said for that. So if I was going to build an event, I wouldn't be trying to build Macworld. And I think there absolutely is a place for something that's not. So there absolutely is a place for CocoConf and is NSConf, I want to say I've seen that go by.
That sounds really familiar.
You know, CocoConf, MacTech Bootcamp, these smaller, you know, it's a similar event. You know, there's the same kinds of folks that are all getting together in the same place. But there's one in Seattle, there's one in LA, there's one in Austin. There's one in Denver, there's one in New York, you know, Chicago, these kind of things. That's really, I think, the way that things are going to ultimately go. And I think that that's great. I still really feel like the hallway track is a necessary piece of a conference. So I want that part to continue.
Sure. And I totally agree with you. And it's awesome to have you back. So there you go.
The one I want to see is Comic iOS Con.
I would be there in a heartbeat.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Hey, we have a sponsor, and I need to talk about them. And so our sponsor this week, new sponsor for the show, Casper. They make mattresses. And when I first heard that they were going to sponsor the show, my thought was, well, that's interesting. A mattress company. Okay. Uh-huh. And so I had to learn more about them. And so they make these foam mattresses that they ship to you. And they are like crazy comfortable, like holy crap, how did someone make a mattress this comfortable? And I'm saying that not just because they're a sponsor, but I have one of their mattresses now, and I've been sleeping on it for like a week, and I'm just stunned at how good this thing feels. So they ship these things to you in a box, and it shows up, and you're like, there's no way there's a mattress that will be as big as it's supposed to be in this box. But the whole experience of opening it up and getting it out, and then it just kind of suddenly magically grows into your mattress.
Oh my gosh.
It's really cool. And they say from the time that you take it out of the box to the time you can sleep on it is 90 seconds.
Wow.
Yeah. So anyhow, they use like this really high-end foam stuff that molds to your body, but unlike the old like the NASA foam where you get in the bed and then it just kind of wraps around you and turns you into this cocoon thing, and you can't move. It conforms to your body, but as you move, it instantly springs back, and so it's not like you sink in and are stuck in this thing and you don't sweat in it, and it's amazingly awesome. I'm really surprised. The prices on these things are really good. So like a twin mattress starts at about $500, but a comparable mattress would be several hundred dollars more. And they figured out how to do this so that they can build a mattress at a good price, and a lot of it's handmade, and then sell it to you for a good price. And that's awesome. So like what I ended up with was a queen mattress, which is $850.
Okay.
And otherwise, I think this mattress would be well over $1,000. And they're just awesome mattresses. So I'm really glad that they're sponsoring the show this week, because I'm now an excited fan of their products. And they have given me a discount code that you guys can use. So everyone can get a $50 discount. And so what you need to do is go to the special URL they set up, which is casper.com/TDO.
Okay.
And then you get $50 off whatever mattress you want to get. And there you go. So what I've been doing, because I have horrible insomnia, is monitoring my sleep patterns on this bed. And I don't have enough data yet to say that this has improved my sleep patterns. I think it has. So we will revisit that on Friday after I have several more days, and I'll let you know just what that's done to my insomnia. So
awesome.
So thank you to Casper for being our show sponsor this week. And we still have another topic to hit real quick. And that is, John, you had an experience recently with a cracked iPad screen. And through that experience, you found some options for dealing with that and started figuring out what makes sense and what doesn't as far as AppleCare. And,
right.
Yeah. Yes. So I wanted to take a look at that.
Well, it was very interesting. When I first got that iPad mini, it was face down on my desk. There's a washing machine next door. The washing machine vibrated, the floor vibrated, the desk, and it went flat on its face the first day. Not a scratch. 2 years later, my wife is reading it on her little stand that she has that kind of props it up. And she bumped it, and it did a face plant and went forward onto the tablecloth. with the kitchen table underneath. And the top of it cracked, and it cracked pretty ugly all around the camera. And it looked like if you ran your finger over it, you were going to cut yourself. And so right away we started thinking about, well, what are you going to do? So we took it into the Apple store, and I had sort of like an idea about, you know, escalation. You know, would they replace it? It wasn't in AppleCare. And they said, no, we won't replace it. It's not AppleCare. You have to have that. So then the salesman, who's wonderful, it's the Apple Store at Park Meadows Mall, great store. He said, this was Gary, he said, well, we can replace it for $199 as is. You give us the old one, we give you a new one for $199. And I thought, this is a 32 gig. And I thought, well, you know, $199, that's a two-year-old iPad. You know, I'm kind of had thoughts about an iPad Mini 3 with Touch ID. I don't want to spend $199 on an old iPad. And Gary said, that's a good idea because it's just wasting your money. So then Lee jumped in and she said, well, why don't we look at one of those plastic covers? And Gary said, yeah, right down the hall, there's a Zag kiosk on the concourse. And, you know, he had booted it up to get the serial number. And it runs fine. And even the camera around, which is greatly cracked, still works. And all the buttons work. So we went down the hall, and we had the Zag guys put a heavy plastic cover on for $35. And it boots, and it runs, and the camera works, and the buttons work, and everything's fine, and you don't cut yourself. And it cost us $35 to salvage this iPad mini, which had zero recycle value because the screen was cracked. Salvages it from the trash can.
So now I thought that was a really clever way to to keep this iPad in use.
Yes,
and it made it really drove a point home for me, which is AppleCare on an iPad may not be worth the cost because the way it works on an iPad is not the same as it works on an iPhone.
Right, they are different.
Yes, so we're going to explore that at the Mac Observer this week.
Awesome. I'm looking forward to seeing what you have to say on that. The gist of it, though, is if you're getting an iPad and you're getting it to and you're getting AppleCare to go along with it because you expect to be able to replace the screen with it, then you need to look really close at what it is that you're trying to do, because it may actually be more cost effective to just pay for a replacement screen later on, as opposed to get AppleCare.
Mm-hmm. That's a good consideration.
But I will point out that that's a great, John, your solution is a great tip for anybody who ends up with a cracked screen in one form or another, is to have a screen protector on it. And in fact, even the advantage to have, if you had had any kind of screen protector on beforehand, at least you wouldn't have been in danger of cutting yourself. And you can get screen protectors pretty inexpensively from a lot of places. There are places in the mall that will install them for you.
Yeah.
If it's not something that you feel up for, it somehow this is one of my weird superpowers that I can do one of these without the bubbles and the dust underneath. So I've done more than my share of putting those on, but it's an excellent, excellent tip. Like if you know that it's going to be even just a couple of days before you can get a hold of something, go somewhere and pick up a screen protector if you can, or even just buy one now and have them handy. At my house for touchscreens, the zag ended up being too, it had too much drag. There's kind of a lot of friction because it's really thick plastic. It's amazing.
Yeah, that's why we didn't like them too much, because it didn't have the right feel.
Yeah, so we don't use those at my house anymore. We've switched to power support for iPhone screen covers.
Power support. And I love their screen protectors.
They're lean and mean. It's unbelievably thin. It's very easy to apply. And the bonus is that if you are somebody who just hates having the super reflection of the screen, they do make them that are matte. So you can get one that's anti-reflective if you want to from Power Support. They make them, they've made them for the 3G, 3GS models, up through the 4 and the 5 and the 6 and the 6 Plus. So you can get one for your screen. They make them for the iPads if you want to sign up for that kind of investment in installation time. But they're really great. They're super fantastic. They're unbelievably durable. I have not cracked a screen, but I really like them because I, no matter how strong the glass is on the screen, no matter what they make it out of, nothing they make will keep me from wearing two little grooves in my screen by holding it up to my ear, because I wear diamond earrings.
Ooh.
And I've never had a phone. Yeah, I bought that in 1998 on the really soft plastic that they used to put on the screen of the Audiovox feature phone. Two little grooves in it almost right away from diamond earrings. And, you know, they can make the front out of sapphire if they want to, but sapphire still doesn't help. So, right,
it's only hardness 9, yeah.
All right. So we're out of time. But yes. But that's an awesome bonus tip. If you're wearing earrings and your screen cracks, put a screen protector on and problem solved.
Or so, put one on ahead of time, and then when it cracks, you don't have to worry about, you know, glass falling out and things. Like, I've seen those kind of shatters too.
That, yeah, good point. Okay, so Kelly, thank you for joining me today, and it's great to have you back.
You're more than welcome. It's great to be back.
And John, thank you for joining me too. It's always awesome to have you here.
Yeah, it's great to be here, and welcome back, Wizard.
Oh, and so it's sweet. Nice to be back, Guru.
Yeah, and thank you to Casper for being our show sponsor this week. And if you missed the link earlier, casper.com/TDO for the discount. Of course, that'll be in the show notes too. And we'll see everyone tomorrow.